WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning, it's the 26th of December, 2018. I'm Arthur. This is the grand hour, as I indicated. I'm going to play three shows today of a serialized version. Serialized show, The Adventures of Superman. I found these looking through for Batman. Batman never had his own radio drama, but he did make several appearances in The Adventures of Superman. So I'm going to start the show off with what I believe is the original air date, the 29th of January, 1946. The Adventures of Superman, titled Is There Another Superman? That'll be followed by one that I've drama that I've been toying with, kind of cat Patton, for several months. Have Gun Will Travel. And I'm going to conclude the show with the serial Is There Another Superman? Part 2. That's going to be predicate how I'm going to have the shows the next few weeks, because I'll just go ahead and play Is There Another Superman? They're about 14 minutes apiece. They were daily. So I'll just go ahead and get on with it. Thanks for listening.
The Super Delicious Cereal presents The Adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Yes, it's Superman. And today, as we begin a brand new adventure for the Man of Steel, a strange situation has taken him to a small village outside of Metropolis. We'll join him there with his friend, the famous Batman, in just a moment. But right now, let's hear from our good friend, Dan McCullough.
You know, old man's son is responsible for a lot of mighty fine things. Fact is, we just couldn't get along without him. And one of the best things he does for you is to make that wonderful vitamin D that helps build strong bones and sturdy teeth. That's the very same vitamin D you get from each sunny serving of Kellogg's Pep. Actually, your day's need of vitamin D makes Pep extra good for you. Your mom knows that. And this super delicious whole wheat flake cereal is so doggone crisp and golden and fresh that, well, you feel like eating lots of it. What's more, the more Kellogg's Pep your family eats, the more comic buttons you get to add to your collection. Maybe a new comic strip character like Moon Mullins or Lillums or Superman himself. Maybe a duplicate so that you can have even more fun trading with your pals. And do you feel proud when you wear your whole collection pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap for everybody to see how many you have? But remember, there's only one way you can get these swell comic buttons. You can't buy them anywhere, and you don't send in any money, not even a box top. All you do is to look inside every package of Kellogg's Pep for your prize. Better plan to eat lots of P-E-P Pep, made by Kellogg's of Battle Creek. Now, the adventures of Superman.
Summoned to police headquarters by Bruce Wayne, otherwise known as Batman, Clark Kent was presented with a puzzling mystery. According to police reports, there had been three recent bank robberies in the outskirts of Metropolis, all of them apparently committed by the same person, a man seemingly possessed of superhuman strength. And in each case, the stolen money had been delivered to a different charitable organization. As Kent and Bruce Wayne were talking, a call came in that another bank had been burglarized the night before, and that a passing motorist had seen the thief and reported he had been dressed in a blue costume and red cape similar to Superman's. As we continue now, Kent and Batman in his guise of Bruce Wayne have arrived at the village of Lynnhaven, 43 miles from Metropolis, where the latest burglary was committed. Sheriff Dawson is leading them to the rear of the one-story brick bank building. Listen.
I'll show you how the feller got into the bank, but I'm telling you, you won't believe it. Well, here we are. You see that window?
Look at that, Kent. The steel bars were wrenched out of their frame.
Yes. Well, they probably hooked a steel cable to their car and pulled them out.
No, sir.
Well, how did they do it then, Sheriff?
There was only one feller. The one Doc Trumbull seen running out of here with the satchel dressed up in the masquerade costume. I figured he ripped them bars out with just his hands.
Nonsense. They're solid steel bars, and they were anchored in concrete. Why, it would take Superman
easy,
here. I mean it would take a man of superhuman strength to do that.
Well, this here fella's got a heap of strength, Mr. Wayne. I figure he's the same one who broke into the banks in Glen Forest, Hightown, and Thomasfield. He yanked the bars off a window in Glen Forest just like he done here, and he pulled two steel doors clean off of their hinges in Hightown and Thomasfield.
Now, I can't believe it.
But why do you say he did it with just his hands, Sheriff?
On account of there wasn't no marks on them windows or doors. None of the bars were sawed, and none of the doors were jimmied. And no explosive was used either. Why, you could see somebody just laid to and ripped them off.
Well, he could have used a cable.
I tell you, he didn't. On account of he couldn't have used no cable on the vault door.
What do you mean?
Well, come on into the bank.
All right.
I'll show you. Never in all my born days did I ever see anything like that. Now, here's the vault room. Ain't no windows down here, and only the one set of steps to get down and up from the main floor. So how could the feller hook up any steel cables and run them outside to a car? It ain't possible.
Where's the vault you say he opened?
It's right around this turn, Bruce.
That's right. Well, how'd you know, Mr. Kent?
How?
Great Jupiter. Look, Kent. This big steel vault door was wrenched open.
Yes, and the door hasn't been cut and it hasn't been drilled. That means no explosive was used.
Of course there wasn't. I tell you, this Superman feller done it with just his own strength. Makes me shiver just to think of a crook that strong running around loose.
Well, there's only one man strong enough to rip this vault door open, and he's no crook. Oh,
thanks, Bruce. Hey, wait a minute. Better not touch the door yet. There may be fingerprints on it.
I imagine it's already been dusted for fingerprints. Right, Sheriff?
That's right, young feller. The only prints on it was the cashier's, the president of the bank, Mr. Hoffman, and Joe the porter. Joe's a wingy little fellow, and apart from Mr. Hoffman and the cashier not being big, strong fellas either...
They know the combination of the vault.
That's right. Say, you two think mighty quick.
Look, Sheriff, your report said a Dr. Trumbull, I believe, saw somebody leaving the bank last night.
That's right. Doc seen the feller run out with a satchel, which must have had the money in it.
Why didn't he chase him?
Oh, he couldn't. Doc had Mrs. Sawyer in the car. You see, she had appendicitis, and he was taking her to the hospital.
Oh, I see.
Also, he says this feller got away awful fast. Just like he was there 1 minute and gone up in smoke the next.
What? You mean he just vanished into thin air?
Yep, that's just about the size of it.
Where can we see Dr. Trumbull, Sheriff?
Well, now, let's see. It's 11:30. Doc ought to be getting home for lunch about this time. I'll take you over there.
Well, nice of you to go to all this trouble, Sheriff.
Yes, it certainly is.
Oh, it ain't no trouble at all. Maybe you'll give me a big write-up in your newspaper, Mr. Kent. If you do, it might help me some come your election next June. I won't mind too much if you want to take some pictures of me either.
This man you saw leaving the bank last night, Dr. Trumbull, can you describe him to us?
Why, yes, Mr. Kent. I got a pretty good look at him. He came around from the rear of the bank just as I turned out of Elm into Main Street. My headlights were right on him.
What did he look like?
He was a pretty big fellow, well built.
How big?
Why, I'd say he was just about your height, Mr. Kent. Come to think of it, he was just about your build, too.
What time was this, Doctor?
Early this morning, about 1:15.
Did you get a look at the man's face?
No, he was wearing a mask.
Uh-huh.
But he had this strange costume on.
What was it like?
I told you, Mr. Kent.
Rather Dr. Trumbull told me, if you don't mind, Sheriff.
Well, it was a blue skin-tight costume with a flowing red cape. Just like...
Yes?
Well... Like the costume Superman wears. Yeah, but I can't make myself believe it was Superman. He's always been on the side of law and order. He's one of the finest and greatest men we have. It couldn't have been Superman.
Of course not.
What makes you so sure, Mr. Kent? How do you know?
Well, I know. At least I think I do.
You think? Now, look,
Kent. I never did believe all the talk and stuff in the papers about this Superman fella. Never believed there was a Superman. But, well, now I ain't so sure.
There's a Superman, all right. But he didn't have anything to do with the bank robbery last night.
I don't know. Nobody but a feller like they say Superman is could have ripped them bars off the window and pulled the vault door off and done the same things at the banks in Glen Forest and Hightown and Thomasville.
Excuse me. Dr. Trumbull speaking.
Who?
Yes, he's here. Just a moment, please. For you, Sheriff.
For me? Oh, much obliged, Doc. Yeah? Who wants me? Oh, hello, Sid. No, I didn't catch a feller yet. Is that you? What? What, Sid? Give me that again. You don't mean it. All of it? Well, I'll be... Sure, I'll be right over. Wait for me, Sid. Oh, of all the crazy... No, I can't believe it.
Well, what's wrong, Sheriff?
Well, when you hear this, Mr. Wayne, you too, Mr. Kent, and Doc, you know the $10,000 that was stolen out of the bank last night?
Of course.
What about it?
Well, that was Sid Hoffman, president of the bank.
Yes?
He just got a call from one of them big charities in Metropolis, the European War Orphans Relief.
Wait a minute.
You don't mean that...
Yeah, just like it happened after them other three robberies in Glen Forest, Hightown, and Thomasville. This charity gets a package by a special messenger an hour ago. And dang if it ain't the $10,000.
Well,
how can they be sure it's the money from this bank, Sheriff?
Well, a card come with it, Sid Hoffman said. Had the name of the bank written right on it.
Just like the others, Kent. What do you make of it?
Nothing. Unless...
Unless what?
I'll tell you later. I want to get to the office of that war relief charity as soon as possible.
That's a good idea. Let's go. What time is it?
Well... There's your answer. Noon whistles at the aircraft factory. But I gotta be getting over to the bank.
We'll give you a lift in our car, then go on to Metropolis. Come on, Bat. Bruce. Goodbye, Doctor, and thanks.
Not at all.
Yes, thanks, Doctor. So long.
Hurrying from the doctor's house, Kent and Batman drive back to Metropolis. At the executive offices of the European War Orphans Relief Society, Mr. Keeler, secretary of the society, permits them to examine the brown paper parcel in which the strange gift of $10,000 had arrived a few hours before.
Nothing on this paper wrapper, Kent. Either inside or out.
May we see the card that came with the money, Mr. Keeler?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Kent. Inspector Henderson left word that nothing was to be disturbed until he got here. He's been delayed on another matter.
Well, I showed you my special police pass signed by the inspector himself. I'm sure he wouldn't object to your letting us see the card.
Well, I don't suppose there's any harm in showing it to you. The inspector's men have already examined it for fingerprints. I have it right here. Here you are, Mr. Wayne.
Thank you. A gift from the Lynn Haven National Bank with the compliments of a friend.
Let me see it, Bruce.
A sure thing.
Thanks. What? Great Scott!
What's the matter, Kent? You're pale as a ghost. Kent, what's the matter?
Pale and trembling, Clark Kent stares at the card in his hand. Why has it shocked him so? What has happened? We'll return in a moment for the amazing climax of today's episode. But first, here again is your announcer.
You know, most everybody finds it pretty tough sometimes to get up in the morning the first time mother calls. But I know a young fellow who beats his mother to the kitchen nowadays because he always wants to make sure there's Kellogg's Pep for breakfast and because he wants to be on hand every time Mom opens a new package of Pep to get a new comic button for his collection. Yes, sir, these nifty comic buttons are real eye-openers. Full comic strip colors, bright red and blue and black on a gleaming white enamel background. And the pictures of your favorite funny paper characters are drawn clear and sharp so they stand out like anything. Why, you'd know them anywhere. Moon Mullins and Winnie Winkle and Superman and all the others. You see, there are 18 different buttons in this series. 18 different funny sheet friends to collect. Boy, it's a load of fun. And they're so easy to get. You don't send in any money for these exciting comic buttons, and you can't buy them anywhere. All you do is ask Mom to keep you supplied with plenty of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep. There's an exclusive prize in every package of P-E-P, Pep, made by Kellogg's, the greatest name in cereals. Now, back to the adventures of Superman.
At the executive offices of the European War Orphans Relief Society, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, who is really the famous Batman, were shown the card enclosed with the stolen bank money. Suddenly paling, Kent led Wayne a few feet away, out of earshot of the society secretary. Wayne is demanding...
What's come over you, Kent? You're pale as a ghost and you're trembling.
This card. The inscription on it.
What about it?
It's in my handwriting.
His eyes literally popping from his head. Batman stares at Clark Kent in open-mouthed amazement. What does this mean? How could Kent have possibly written the card enclosed with the money stolen from the Lynn Haven Bank? Fellows and girls, there's thrilling mystery and excitement in our new story, different from anything you've heard before. So don't miss a single episode of it. Tune in tomorrow and every day, Monday through Friday, same time, same station, and listen to The Adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Fellas and girls, be sure to follow The Adventures of Superman. Brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, same time, same station, by the grand old Kellogg Company of Battle Creek. Superman is also a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC Publications. Say, gang, you'll get a bang out of this. Kellogg's Variety is back. That's the grand 10-package assortment of six swell Kellogg cereals. Makes breakfast more fun than a picnic. Makes it easy for Mom, too. No dishes to wash, thanks to the new Kell Bowl Pack. You can eat right out of it. What's more, these generous packages are great for lunchboxes and outings. So ask Mom to hurry and get Kellogg's Variety at the grocer's her very first chance. And be sure to be with us tomorrow for the thrilling adventures of Superman. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Okay, that was Is There Another Superman? We'll have another exciting adventure coming up after the play, the second show, second drama, today's broadcast, the Grand Hour. This one is quote unquote a radio oddity. It was the show Half Gun Will Travel. It was originally on television. And they decided to bring it to radio in 1958. Ran for 2 years on CBS. It starred Pat Boone in the TV series. And in the radio adaptations, excuse me. John Danner plays Paladin. I'm not a big fan of Half Gun Will Travel, but it is rather like the quote-unquote a radio oddity. It was a successful TV series before it was a radio show. This one has an original air date of the 23rd of November, 1958. And it's titled Strange Vendetta. I don't know if this parallels any of the television shows, if they adapted scripts from the show for the radio, or if they were written independently. I might look into that at some point, but again, I'm not a big fan of Pat Boone and Have Gun Will Travel, but here you go.
Sit down, gentlemen, and sit still. I've come to order a coffin for the first one of you who makes a move. Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Danner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Good evening, Mr. Paladin.
Good evening.
Oh, here are the paper, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, thanks, hey boy.
Excuse, please. Must go. A lady look for me.
Lady? What lady? Well, I should say it is a lady.
Oh, very sorry. Could not catch tickets to opera. All sold out.
Oh, I had so hoped to sit in that performance.
And you still can.
Huh?
I couldn't help overhearing your difficulty. I have an opera box, if you would care to be my guest.
Oh, thank you. But we could not presume on your courtesy.
We?
My husband and I, Senor...
Paladin.
Oh.
Now, of course, the invitation extends to him also.
We have been looking for you, my dear.
Oh, Miguel. Senor Paladin, this is my husband, Senor Rojas.
Senor.
And Dr. Mayhew.
Great pleasure, Mr. Paladin.
Dr. Mayhew.
Senor Paladin has kindly offered us his box at the opera tonight. There were no more tickets.
Very kind.
Dr. Mayhew is, of course, included in my invitation.
That's very gracious of you, Mr. Paladin.
The invitation is accepted?
We accept. On the condition that you join us and be our guest for dinner, Mr. Paladin. Is that not correct, my dear?
Quite correct, Mr. Paladin. Until this evening, then, buenos dias.
Mr. Paladin?
Oh, your husband don't like you.
I'm afraid you're right. But then, why should he?
No one could be more at home with history than Edward R. Murrow. For more than 20 years now, he's focused his attention on world affairs, broadened his viewpoint with travel, and sharpened his perspective by meeting and getting to know many of the leading statesmen of our time. 5 evenings a week on CBS Radio, Edward R. Murrow shares his experience with you. For a clear, concise report on today's important developments, join us on most of these same stations when it's time for Edward R. Murrow with the news. A fuller understanding of current events is waiting for you, too, on every lively edition of our World News Roundup. 7 mornings a week on CBS Radio, the World News Roundup takes you to the scene of the news for eyewitness reports by CBS News correspondents. Hear what's happening direct from where it's happening. Get the feeling of the news along with the facts as our World News Roundup comes your way at breakfast time tomorrow.
Dr. Mayhew, it's time to wake up.
Oh.
The performance is over.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry, Mr. Paladin. Opera is not one of my special likes. Which one was this?
The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, at any rate, Don Miguel's wife seems to have enjoyed it.
Miss Doña Maria is a remarkable woman, Doctor. Meant to savor and enjoy beautiful things.
And I might comment for your particular benefit, Mr. Paladin, that Don Miguel is a remarkable man.
Wait a minute.
Eh? Oh, what is it?
Someone behind the curtain.
What?
Don Miguel! Look out!
Don Miguel!
Senor Paladin, help him! My husband has been hurt!
Please, Doña Maria, Dr. Mayhew will do all he can.
Paladin, he needs treatment at once. We'll have to get him out of here.
Oh, it is you, Senor Paladin.
Yes, any news?
No, not yet. We are still waiting.
Well, I spoke to the police. There'll be no trouble. It was a clear case of self-defense. The man attacked your husband and was shot down. It was lucky Don Miguel was armed.
Yes.
Is he always armed?
I do not know.
Did you see the man who attacked your husband?
Of course I saw him.
Did you know him?
No.
The man looked very surprised at the way things turned out.
Oh, I thought Dr. Mayhew, hurry.
Doña Maria, has Don Miguel ever been attacked like this before?
No. Yes, he has. There is no need to lie about it. It's an insane blood feud that has cost many lives already. This was bound to happen. If he failed tonight, They will not fail another time.
Blood feud? Perhaps I can help?
This is not a tragic opera, senor. In this case, death is very... Doctor, how is he?
He's resting quietly. You may go to him now, Doña Maria.
As Doña Maria...
Yes.
Give him my card.
This is not time for fun. Have gun? Will travel?
Give it to him. Please.
Si, I will.
Well?
The wound itself isn't too serious, but I don't like the looks of it.
Why, Doctor? What's the problem?
There was poison on the knife blade. Nothing familiar. A plant substance of some sort.
The question is, will Don Miguel live?
Yes. For perhaps a week.
Dr. Mayhew has told me I'm dying. That is why I sent for you, after I read your card. My wife has told you of a vendetta.
Yes. Yes, she did. What do you want? Revenge?
No. My task for you is much more personal. I want you to escort my body safely to my home in San Tomasino and deliver it there to my wife.
Doña Maria, isn't she here in San Francisco?
I sent her home this morning. I wish to die unobserved.
Someone once commented you were a remarkable man.
Do not misconstrue my sentimentality. The vendetta against our family includes the threat of mutilation of the body. In which case, the bestiality is complete. I would prefer that it did not happen to my body. Will you take the job?
All right.
$1,000 and expenses.
We have a bargain.
Good. You'll be paid by Maria upon safe delivery of my body in San Tomasino. Thank you, Senor Paladin.
San Francisco.
What did you say, hey boy?
Big robbery in San Francisco. $230,000. Oh, very careless. You read?
No, I was reading something else. Don Miguel Rojas, distinguished visitor from Mexico, died last night of knife wounds, suffered last week when he was attacked by an unidentified assailant while attending the opera.
Mr. Paladin?
Yes?
I am Mr. Wilkins.
Oh, yes, the mortician.
You sent for me. May I be of help to you?
You can turn one of your clients over to me, Mr. Wilkins, the late Don Miguel Rojas. Here, this is a letter of authorization.
The body is to go into Mexico. You'll need a certificate to cross the border, sir.
I have that from Dr. Mayhew.
And how do you propose to transport the body?
I've hired a stagecoach, Mr. Wilkins.
When would you like to start?
As soon as possible.
Don Miguel will be ready. Good day, sir.
Good day.
Oh, how long you be gone, Mr. Paladin?
Oh, 12 days, 2 weeks at the most. Now, why do you look like that?
Hey, dead man. Oh, no good trip carrying dead man.
You know, border stations are all alike, Mr. Paladin.
Anybody here?
You just try to go through without inspection. You'll find out if anybody's here. Where's your destination?
San Tomasino.
Name?
Paladin. My driver is Timmons.
Just the two of you?
Three.
Don Miguel. Hey! You can't take a dead body across the border.
Yes, I can. There's a statute book. Read Article 8, page 14. You want to inspect the coffin?
Open that thing up? Oh, not me.
All right, then. What's the country like between here and San Tomasino?
Well, empty, except for a water hole called Loma Verde. The rest is rattlers and blow dirt. Oh, go on. Inspection's over.
Let's go, Timmons.
Spot of green we've seen, Mr. Paladin. Loma Verde's hardly a paradise. I don't like it.
Deodorizes, deep cleans kitchen, bathroom, nursery, sick room. Keeps things fresh and sweet with no extra work. Pine-scented Lysol helps guard your home. In laboratory tests, Lysol's anti-germ action kept working for 7 full days. So try this new pine-scented Lysol. Make your home
pine sweet and Lysol clean.
You can still get regular Lysol, too.
Turn around, please. Your gun? And now we can talk like gentlemen.
Sure.
Now, I would like to satisfy my curiosity about that cargo. Open up my coffin.
Money. A great deal of it.
The shipping payroll robbery. $230,000.
You plan well. Dr. Mayhew was in on this?
He has been paid off along with Mr. Wilkins, our undertaker. They made my death seem very convincing. But not as convincing as yours will be, Senor Paladin.
What are you waiting for?
First, you must help me with another burial. The money must be hidden until certain arrangements are made. Replace the lid and come down. I warn you, any false move will shorten your life and will assure you a much more unpleasant death than you now contemplate. Pick up the shovel. Now move.
When you staged that attack at the opera, what about the man who was killed?
The man was hired to play a part. I changed the ending of his scene.
No wonder he looked surprised.
You cannot play chess without sacrificing pawns. Now, dig.
All right. You're in check. Miguel. Checkmate.
Come back to the border. Hey, did you deliver that? The coffin's still up there on top.
And the corpse is in the coach. Take a look. You see?
Just sit where you are, mister, and start explaining.
That is the body in the coach. The coffin up here is filled with stolen money.
What are you trying to pull, mister?
You don't think I'm telling the truth?
No.
There's an easy way to prove it. Come on up here and open the coffin.
All right, I will. Here, give me a hand.
Right. Well, I'll be.
What's your name?
Farley.
Mr. Farley, there's a lady in San Tomasino waiting for the body of her husband, whereupon she will pay me my fee. I need your help.
What's this got to do with me?
I thought you might want to get credit for the lady's arrest if she's a part of the plan.
What about all this money? What'd we do with that?
The colonel in command of the 3rd Cavalry at Nogales will sign for it and escort it back to San Francisco.
All right. We'll turn the money over to him and start back. But how do we know if this lady is guilty or not?
Suppose you leave that up to me, Mr. Farley. Surprised to see me?
No, but I thought...
I didn't wish to disturb the servants. You see, my errand is quite personal.
Yes, my husband sent word before he...
Would you like us to bring the coffin in this way?
Very well.
Excuse me. All right, Mr. Farney.
I don't like this, Paladin.
This is Mr. Farley, Doña Maria, Senora Rojas.
How do you, ma'am?
How do you do? I will get your money, Senor Farley.
Don't you think you should make certain that I have fulfilled my part of the bargain?
Yes, you are right. Open the coffin.
Farley.
Yeah. That is my husband. I will get your money.
What do you think, Farley?
Not guilty. No woman could be that calm. She thought her husband was alive and then saw him dead.
And you're satisfied she had nothing to do with him?
Yeah.
All right. Wait for me at the stagecoach.
Yeah. Don't be too long.
Where is your man, senor? There is a drink for him in the kitchen.
You hid your surprise very well. And your grief.
I had no grief for Miguel. I do not know how he died, but I can never thank you enough for giving me my freedom. My life with him was a nightmare.
I can believe you. I saw it in your face. Goodbye, Doña Maria.
Wait. Your money?
No, I'd rather not.
Please, senor. It gives me pleasure to pay for my errors. Especially since this is the last payment.
Very well. Should you come again to San Francisco, I hope you'll come with me to the opera. Ah, Dr. Mayhew.
Oh, I got your message, Mr. Paladin, but I'm afraid I can't give you too much time. I'm a very busy man.
All of us are. Ah, here comes another busy man.
Hey?
Mr. Wilkins, the undertaker.
My dear Mr. Paladin, what can I do for you?
Sit down, first of all.
Thank you. Doctor?
Wilkins. Well, Paladin, what is it you want?
I'd like to order a coffin.
A coffin? For whom?
For whichever of you gentlemen makes the first move.
Well, I...
This is a derringer in case identification escapes you. Hey, boy.
Mr. Paladin?
Get me a policeman. On second thought, get me 2 policemen. 1 apiece.
Oh, big story in papers. Dr. Mayhew and Mr. Wilkins all in jail.
Where they belong, hey, boy. Ah, here we are.
Oh, where are we?
San Francisco opera premiere tonight. Hey, boy, I want you to take this over to the opera house. Buy me a box.
Oh.
Now, what's the matter with you?
Last time you go to opera, man get killed, money get stolen. Oi, big trouble. You no learn?
Of course I learn. What would you have me do?
No opera, no lady.
Hey, boy, I'm afraid you have a lot to learn.
Gun will travel. created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Ken Kolb and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Lillian Bayef, Harry Bartell, Joseph Kearns, Howard Culver, Ralph Moody, and Vic Perrin. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Safety. WMFO Medford.
Okay. You listen to Have Gun, Will Travel, Strange Vendetta, an original air date of the 23rd of November, 1958. That was the first show in the series. It's interesting because John Daner concluded Frontier Gentleman on the 18th of November, 1958. So within a week, he was already playing Paladin, which was already a successful television show that they adopted to radio in the dwindling years of radio. So it's pretty interesting. And finally, for today, I want to play another one of the serialed Superman. Well, actually, I didn't realize Norman McDonough produced Have Gun, Will Travel. He was also noted producer for Gunsmoke, as well as Fort Laramie. But now on to Superman. Jack Johnstone is credited as one of two credited writers for the entire series of Adventures of Superman, which spanned about 11 years. Playing this, I believe, Is There Another Superman, was in the last week of January 1946. That was, this is serialized, a daily serial. It underwent a couple of different treatments. The Adventures of Superman, starting, you know, the serialized, and then I believe towards the last 2 years of the show, it was a half-hour program. Switched broadcast networks. But right now, you're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio. But the reason I brought up Jack Johnstone as one of two writers is he went ahead and he directed The Six Shooter, which I haven't played in a while. so I'm going to have to look into returning to that here in the next couple of weeks. But here you go. This is part two of Superman. Is there another Superman?
Kellogg's Pep, the super delicious cereal, presents the adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Yes, it's Superman, who is today startled over a strange discovery he has just made. We'll learn more about it in a moment as we join him with his friend Batman. But right now, here's a word from your announcer, Dan McCullough.
You know, I saw a bunch of fellows and girls starting off to the movies the other day, and I noticed that the whole gang had to wait while one of the fellows went back to the house for his cap that he'd forgotten. Yes, sir. He felt kind of out of things without his collection of comic buttons from packages of Kellogg's Pep. He wanted to wear that cap with the comic buttons pinned on it so everybody could see how many he'd collected. And he has a right to be proud of them. They're so doggone slick-looking, and the colors stand out so bright and sharp that, well, those pictures of your favorite comic strip characters are something to show off. Take Kale, for instance, with his black derby tilted over one eye and his bright red sweater. Why, he'll hand you a laugh anytime. Or Winnie Winkle with her smooth, long bob. Or Superman himself. Boy, he's mighty handsome in his bright red and blue outfit and red Superman insignia. So better get busy, gang. Collect all 18 of these swell comic buttons. Ask Mom today to get you plenty of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep. That's the only way you can get these exclusive prizes. You don't send in any money, not even a box top. You get these comic buttons only from P.E.P. Pep, made by Kellogg's of Battle Creek. Now, the adventures of Superman.
A strange and mysterious threat has suddenly loomed up to menace Superman. Four banks located in small towns near Metropolis have been broken into by a man of seemingly superhuman strength, who ripped open heavily barred windows and steel vault doors as though they were made of cardboard. Following the fourth burglary, a figure in a blue costume and red cape curiously similar to Superman's was seen leaving the bank carrying a satchel. And, amazingly enough, the following morning, the money stolen from the bank was delivered to the European War Orphans Relief Society in Metropolis. In their guises of Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, Superman and his famous friend Batman hurried to the offices of the Relief Society, where Mr. Keeler, the manager, showed them the card that had accompanied the money. As he read the card, Kent turned pale. Drawing Bruce Wayne to one side, he whispered,
"This card, the inscription on it."
"What about it?"
It's in my handwriting."
"What?"
"Yes, it's in my handwriting."
Now, alone in a small vacant office adjoining Mr. Keeler's, Bruce Wayne demands an explanation.
"What are you talking about, Kent? What do you mean it's your handwriting?"
"Just what I said. Look, I'll show you. You got a fountain pen?"
"Oh, sure, here. Here.
Sit down at the desk. Now, wait, I've got my notebook. Now, watch. Let's see, now the card says, a gift from the Lindhaven National Bank."
"Say, wait a minute.
Huh?
Since when are you left-handed?"
"Superman is."
"But you're Superman, remember?"
"I'm also Clark Kent. As Superman, I write with my left hand. As Kent, with my right. Each hand writes differently."
"Oh, I get it. An extra protection for your double identity. Yeah, I'll have to learn that trick myself."
"Let's see, what was the rest of that inscription? Oh, yes, here we are. With the compliments of a friend." "There. Now, compare my handwriting with that on the card."
"Let's see. Say, they do look alike."
"Look alike? They're identical. Look. Look at the capital letters. And the way the G is formed in gift."
"Uh-huh.
Look here. Look at the D in friend."
"Boy, this is amazing, Ken."
"It certainly is."
"Well, the whole setup's amazing. Witnesses say the bank robber's about your size and build. He apparently possesses superhuman strength. He wears a blue costume and a red cape. And now we discover that his handwriting is identical to yours. Oh, I can't figure it out."
"Neither can I. Unless..."
"Unless what?"
Oh, no, no, it's too fantastic.
You're probably thinking the same thing I am.
What's that?
The possibility that there may be another Superman.
Oh, no, there couldn't be.
Why not?
Because there couldn't.
Well, you came from another planet, didn't you?
Yes, from Krypton, but I was the only survivor when the planet blew up.
You sure about that?
Yes, of course I'm sure. Well, at least...
At least what?
At least I'm reasonably sure.
Now, we're getting somewhere. Isn't it within the realm of possibility that there might have been another survivor? Another potential Superman who came to Earth when the planet blew up?
Well, yes, I suppose it's possible, but...
But you don't want to believe it.
Oh,
frankly, I don't blame you. Particularly since his hobby seems to be breaking into banks.
Oh, no, no, I can't believe it. I can't believe there's another Superman. It just doesn't seem possible.
Well, that's what they said about the steamboat. Electricity and the telephone.
But I know I was Krypton's only survivor.
You know, but you're not sure.
Well, listen, I came to Earth in the model of a spaceship my father had built. There was only one model. How could anyone else have gotten to Earth?
Krypton was a big place, wasn't it?
Well, yes, I suppose so. At the time, I was too young to know.
Maybe someone else had a spaceship.
And came to Earth in it?
Uh-huh.
Well, then, where has he been all these years? Why is he suddenly showing up?
That's a tough question.
Well, we're certainly not going to get the answer here. Gotta think this thing out carefully, if I can think at all.
What do you mean?
Right now, I've got a terrific headache.
Superman with a headache? Gosh, that's funny.
I wish I thought so.
Oh, I don't mean the headache's funny. I mean the idea of your getting them seems a little peculiar.
Well, lately, I've had them quite often. I think I'll go back to my apartment.
That's a good idea. And I'll drop down to headquarters and see if anything else has come in on that last bank job.
All right.
Say, maybe it's your eyes, Kent. Using them a lot lately?
No more than usual.
Haven't seen the doctor, have you?
No.
Well, it might be a good idea if you did. Chances are it's just some little thing.
Yeah, could be. Well, let's go. Oh, wait a minute. This card. Better return it to Mr. Keeler. Here's the card, Mr. Keeler, and thanks very much for your courtesy.
You're quite welcome, Mr. Kent.
And my thanks, too, Mr. Keeler.
Don't mention it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Elevator's to the left.
Okay.
That headache's bothering you, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Getting worse.
I think a lot of it's due to this mess. Worrying about who's responsible.
I don't think so. I started having these headaches before this broke.
Here's the elevator. After you.
Thanks.
You go on home, Kent. And I'll call you from headquarters if I learn anything.
Fine.
Leaving the building at which the War Orphans Relief Society is located, Batman takes a taxi to police headquarters while Kent returns to his apartment. There, his headache easing up somewhat, he picks up a newspaper and reads the report of the latest exploit of the Superman bank robber while waiting for Batman's call. But suddenly, unaccountably, the paper slips from his fingers and his head falls forward on his chest. He breathes regularly, deeply, fast asleep in his chair. An hour goes by, another hour, and the sun dips a red ball of fire below the cold skyscrapers of the great city. At 7 o'clock, the telephone rings in Kent's apartment. It rings again and again, then for a time stops. At 7:30, it rings once more, but remains unanswered. Throughout the evening, it rings at intervals. And finally, when the hands of the mantel clock in the dark room point to 5 minutes before midnight, the shrilling clamor of the phone is stilled as a hand reaches out and picks up the instrument.
Hello?
Kent?
Yes?
This is Bruce Wayne.
Oh, hello, Bruce.
Where the dickens have you been? I've been ringing you steadily for the past half hour.
Oh, I've been right here, Bruce. It's dark. What time is it?
Almost midnight. Listen, Kent.
What? You mean I've been asleep in my chair for 6 hours?
How do I know where you've been? Now listen to me.
But it's impossible. I just never dozed off like this before.
Will you stop interrupting and listen? Our friend did it again.
What? You mean...
Yes, he broke into the bank at Groveton an hour ago. Tore a steel bar door off its hinges, ripped the vault open, and got away with $20,000.
Great Scott, an hour ago in Groveton?
Yes. That's about 50 miles out, near Lynn Haven. I was thinking if we got there fast...
We'll get out there plenty fast. Where are you?
At police headquarters.
Well, rush down to the parking lot in back of it. I'll pick you up in less than a minute. Step on it now.
I'll be waiting for you.
Oh. Why did I do a thing like that? Out of these clothes? What made me fall asleep like that? Only I'd been awake when Batman called before. Just don't understand it. Here we are. All set. Now, up with this window.
Out! And away!
Leaping from his apartment window, Superman streaks through the night sky to the parking lot behind police headquarters where Batman awaits him. We'll return in a moment for the startling climax of today's episode. But first, here again is your announcer.
You know, gang, this business of collecting comic buttons from packages of Kellogg's Pep is one game where the girls have just as much chance to win out as the fellas. Fact is, I know some girls who've collected more buttons than their brothers have. Of course, the fellas won't stand for that very long. No, sir, they'll get busy, too, and have a load of fun with it. Take swapping duplicates, for instance. Here's how it works. Suppose you have two comic buttons with Orf and Annie's picture on them, but you don't have a Superman button. So you just scout around and find out which one of your pals needs Orf and Annie and has a Superman to swap. And while you're about it, it's a good time to compare notes on how many different comic buttons your friends have collected, too, to make sure that you're not left behind. Because it's going to be a mighty fine day when you've collected all 18 different buttons in the series. And these nifty comic buttons are so easy to get. You don't send in any money, not even a box stop. Fact is, you can't buy them anywhere. All you do is to make sure Mom gets you plenty of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Inside every package, there's your exclusive prize. Remember, that's P-E-P, Pep, made by Kellogg's, the greatest name in cereals. Now, back to the adventures of Superman.
Carrying Batman, Superman rocketed from Metropolis to the village of Groveton, 50 miles away, where the latest amazing bank robbery had taken place little more than an hour before. As we join them now, once more in their guises of Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, they are examining the heavy steel-bolted door which had been torn from its hinges at the entrance to the bank. A deputy police officer stands guard within the now brightly illuminated bank building, while nearby a group of excited villagers are gathered about a shrill-voiced man and woman.
Sure, Sam, indeed, it was right here. We've been coming home for the quarters, I said, Sam, I said.
You're right, Sarah.
No doubt of it, Kent. The same man who did the other bank jobs pulled this one. Just look at that steel door. Ever see anything like it?
Oh, if only I hadn't fallen asleep. If we'd come here soon after you phoned me the first time.
Oh, no use crying over spilt milk.
No, I suppose not. I can't understand how I fell asleep.
I've seen it with my own eyes. So did Sam. Didn't you, Sam?
You hear that, Kent?
Sure did.
That woman saw our man.
Yes, come on over there. You know, he was dressed in a blue costume and a red cape. He was flying.
That's what he was, like a bird. One minute he was in front of his bag, next minute he was up.